All right, good morning.
Good morning.
That was exuberant, Phil. I like it. I like it. Maybe we can try one more time. You can be all be as exuberant as Phil, okay? Good morning.
Good morning.
That's getting there. All right, well, let me invite you this morning. You can stand, you can turn to your neighbor and say, like Labrador Spar, you, my friend, are shining with God's radiant light. I would dismiss the youngest of the radiant lights among us, but they're already all gone. So... okay, well, today we are turning the chapter, still working our way through the most significant teachings of Jesus, still in the Sermon on the Mount, but turning the page to chapter 7 today, the first six verses. And so what I want to do is read the text, and then we'll pray, and then we'll get after it and see where it takes us. Matthew chapter 7, it's the opening line. It says, we read, and Jesus teaches, do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged, and with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Verse 3, why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your sister, let me take the speck out of your eye, when all the time there is a plank in your own eye? Verse 5, you hypocrite, first take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your sister's eye. Verse 6, do not give dogs what is sacred, do not throw your pearls to pigs. If you do, they may trample them under their feet and turn and tear you to pieces. And with that lovely word picture, let's pray. God, we thank you for this day, for the gift it is to gather together. Thank you for each one here, radiant light that each one is. Thank you that you give us your word and your words. And as we now dive into them, I would ask, as always, that you would be in and under and over and all through my words, that I would speak your heart. May you, Spirit, come, mold us, shape us, form us, that we might follow in the footsteps of Jesus in these teachings, and that we might be that radiant light to the world. It's in the precious name of Jesus we ask. Amen. From the pen of Shakespeare, alas, alas, why all the souls that were forfeit once, and he that might the vantage best have took found out the remedy. How would you be if he, which is the top of judgment, should but judge you as you are? Oh, think on that. And mercy then will breathe within your lips, like man, like woman, new made. This was written back in the early 17th century. This play, its title, Measure for Measure, takes its words from this very passage here in Matthew chapter 7. It's a play that in large part deals with this very reality of all the sorts of ways that we criticize, that we compare and condemn, right? The harsh words, right? All the ways that we devalue and diminish and disregard one another. Which is the very thing that Jesus is speaking to us today, right? Not because we're above all that, not because we're above the finger pointing and the fault finding, but precisely because we're not. Right? We're not above all of that. Which is why Jesus then speaks into our reality again, this invitation into this other way of doing life and relationships. And he says, do not judge, or you too will be judged. Judge here comes from the Greek krino. There's a few different shades of meaning, one of which it's used in the legal system. And so we can think of a courtroom with all that's going on, and the judge and or the jury are to make a judgment, right? They are to judge guilt or innocence. Krino also is used simply as making a decision. It refers to making a decision. And so in one sense, we're always judging. We're always krinoing, right? Maybe even just this morning, you know, do I get up or do I hit the snooze button, right? Do I watch TV or do I read this book, right? Do I go out? Do I stay in? Do I do a load of laundry or clean enough, right? It's making a decision. We can add to that then that there's also a sense that krino refers to a measure of value. A measure of value. And that's the way that Jesus is using it in today's text. Context here is presenting it in the negative. So when we talk about a measure of value, it's placed here into the negative. And so there's the sense here that do not judge. It gives us the sense that do not consider another as of no value. Don't consider another as less than. Don't consider another as... And so Jesus, he's not eliminating the justice system, the legal system. He's not saying don't make any decisions. But he is saying very sternly, look, don't measure another's value as being less than. Don't tear down, don't push aside, don't demean, don't belittle, don't devalue. In addition, krino is in the present imperative, which again, like seek and seeking from last week, I mean, it's an ongoing or a repeated action. And so it's this idea of do not judge and do not keep on judging. Do not engage in the practice. We could think back a few weeks, think orientation, right? Do not orient yourself toward this practice of judging. And with that, then, Jesus points us to the consequence, right? He says for, meaning here is the effect. Here's the effect. Here's the result. For in the same way you judge others, he says, you will be judged. What is the principle of reciprocity, right? What goes around comes around kind of a thing. Here, more specifically, that would be what you give is what you get, right? For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. It's also important to get with the statement, you will be judged, that it is not speaking of human judgment here, but it's speaking of, and the implication is that the additional phrase here would be by God, that you are being judged, you will be judged by God, noting there in the Greek, it's in the aorist tense, and so wouldn't be an ongoing kind of human judgment, but it would be the decisive judgment of God. Meaning that very act of judging, as the scholar John Norland puts it, the very act of judging another, we could say, establishes a set of criteria to which the one judging must expect to answer before God. And then Jesus, he doubles down. He often does this. He doubles down. He gives us this other statement, kind of this synonymous line. And with the measure you use, he says, it will be measured to you, which in one sense is simply a rephrasing of that line, right? In Hebrew in particular, there's that rhetorical device called parallelism, two ways of saying the same thing. And so in many respects, that's what this is. In addition, though, it has its own sort of word picture or kind of imagery. It comes from the world of grain contracts, where it was well known that, and it was the pattern, if you will, that grain, the grain delivery, the grain weight, and the payment would use the exact same scale. And that scale was actually the scale that was owned by the buyer. And so the grain itself, the grain delivery, would be using the same scale exactly as the payment, which I think then drives home the point, again from John Norland, If we condemn others, we must expect God to respond in the coinage of strict justice, whereas mercy and generosity to others is a declaration to God that such is the coinage we wish to have used in his dealings with us as well. And that leads us then to verse 3. In that day, this would have been received, and probably even today, is kind of this comical sort of absurdity. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? Maybe today we would say, why do you notice a crumb on the other's shirt when you have a pizza, slice of pizza dripping down your shirt? Now, to get at this, the speck of sawdust is karphos in Greek, and it refers to a tiny bit, a small fragment. It's kind of this like almost nothing. It's also used within ancient Greek literature to speak of that which was very minute or infinitesimal. And so again, it's something that has no significance, very little to no significance, tiny, minute. In addition, at the other end is dokos, which is plank, which is a beam of wood. This would be a beam that would be kind of the center beam of the house that would be holding everything up. And so it's massive. It's enormous, right? It's impossible to miss. And so Jesus, right, he's pressing the absurdity here. Verse 4, he says, how can you say to your brother, to your sister, let me take that speck, right? That thing that is just so insignificant, that little tiny crumb, right, out of your eye, when all the time there's this pizza dripping down my shirt. There's this huge, massive beam right in front of me. There's a plank in my own eye. And that leads then to verse 5, where Jesus says, you hypocrite, which was a term used in the ancient theater for an actor. This was someone who would put on a mask and they would play a role. Right? They would play a part up on stage. And so Jesus is saying here, look, judging others while ignoring your own stuff is just that. It's nothing more than a performance. Which is why he then goes on and says, first, take the plank, right? That massive beam out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck, the crumb, from your brother's or from your sister's eye. From the scholar Leon Morris, he says, Jesus is using a humorous method of bringing out the contrast between our excellence in picking up the faults of others and our myopia in discerning our own. And it's that lack of discernment then that Jesus, I think, speaks to here in verse 6. Do not, he says, do not give dogs what is sacred. Do not throw your pearls to pigs. If you do, they may trample them under their feet and turn and tear you to pieces. It is that lack of discernment, our lack of discernment. We could also say our self-awareness or self-examination that absolutely, Jesus says, destroys. It's our lack of discernment, our self-awareness, our self-exploration, examination that destroys. Point being, when it comes to our own shortcomings, our own limitations, our flaws and defects, we often trade discernment for performance. In other words, when we judge others and yet lack self-awareness, lack self-examination, we are in effect performing righteousness, not practicing it. And performance, right, puts on a mask, plays a role. And here Jesus is calling us to stop, right? To stop performing, in essence, to take off the mask, to stop the judging of others, stop all of the tearing down and the pushing aside and the marginalizing and the devaluing and the diminishing and the disregarding, right? Seeing another as of no worth, as less than. And he says, start discerning, right? Self-awareness, examination. And, as Shakespeare puts it, and mercy then will breathe within your lips. And mercy then will breathe within your lips, like woman, like man, new made. There is a type of crystal called Labrador spar. It's often said that at first sight it is rather dull and it's without luster. But if you take it and you turn it round and round and round, it will come to the point where the light strikes it just so. And when that happens, what was rather plain and ordinary is revealed as radiant. There's blues and greens and gold and purples. A beauty and a brilliance that was always there. From Ralph Waldo Emerson, he says, a person is like a bit of Labrador spar, which has no luster as you turn it in your hand, until you come to a particular angle. Then it shows deep and beautiful colors. Our place is not to judge. Right, measure of value. Justice system, courtroom, making decisions, yes. But our place is not to judge. Right? Our task is not to belittle and demean others as less than. Our job is not to evaluate others negatively. Right? We're not called to seek out others' imperfections. We're not entitled to treat others as something less than. But like that bit of Labrador spar, right? We are called to engage with another until we come to that point where we encounter that particular angle, right? And at that moment, and we see and we value her deep and beautiful colors. We see and we value his deep and beautiful colors. Right? For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. And that measure, it will be measured to you. And so I want us to sit for just a little bit, but to kind of reflect on this whole idea of the judgments that we make. And maybe the first question to ask would be, where am I tempted to judge, right? To tear down, to dismiss, to belittle, rather than to show mercy. Where am I tempted to judge rather than show mercy? In line with that, we need to ask and maybe make it a little bit more personal and ask, with whom am I tempted? Like what person, what group, community, with whom am I tempted to evaluate, right? Think devalue, diminish, demean, rather than offer generosity. With whom am I tempted to evaluate? Maybe it's a person, maybe it's a group. We could ask, to borrow from Jesus, what measure do I use with others, right? With the other. What measure do I use with that person? How am I performing righteousness instead of practicing it? We can think kind of back over these last weeks, right? The whole idea of performance, right? If it was prayer, you would go out to the town square so that people could see you. It's sort of that outward adoration versus the inward work in the heart. What mask do I find myself putting on? What plank do I need to face in my own life? And then to wrap it up, I could ask here, what needs to change in me so that I might see the Labrador spar in others? And last but not least, how might mercy breathe within my lips today? Do not judge, Jesus says, for in the same way, the measure you use will be measured to you.